Now pray this with me as we've done every night for 27 nights. Pray this. Heavenly Father,
speak to my heart.
Give me revelation and understanding.
That I would never be the same.
That you would be glorified.
Come now, Holy Spirit.
Flow in this place.
I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Well, on Sunday night, who was here on Sunday night? How many are sore but stiff? There's a few honest hands going up. Yeah. Amazing. Just an incredible night. Now, I'm mindful that, are we streaming tonight? Is this streaming internet-wise?
Yes.
It is. Right. Well. Right now, before I even open up God's Word, if you need healing in your body, just where you sit now, I want you to put your hand, as modesty will allow and as you're able to reach, just to place hand on your body now where you need God to release healing. Right now, all those who are listening and streaming, Raywin, this is for you. I hope you're listening, Raywin. Put your hands on your body where you need God to bring healing right now. All those who are listening, streaming on the internet, right now, place your hand on your body where you need the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Holy Spirit, release your healing now, please. Let us speak healing in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Lord, right now we ask, release your healing anointing. Release healing to joints, please. Lord, release healing to the very marrow of the bones. Lord, this night I ask that you release healing into organs, into lungs. Lord, into the pancreas. Father, we ask tonight there be a breaking of allergies. Breaking of migraines. Lord, tonight, a breaking of that which is enslaving people. Oh, Lord, release your healing anointing. Oh, Lord, release it now, we ask. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Infirmities, release your hold from these people right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Release it now, please. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We encourage you to enjoy the break that is coming up. Get refreshed, rest, and then come back into the house of God when we come back together on the 8th of August. Dan and Donna Garvin from the Allendale Outpouring will be back in the country, are going to be with us for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks, and we'll be back and we'll be flowing in the river, we believe, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights. But as Pastor Jules said, Wednesday nights we're going to come and cry out to God for this town, for this city, for this nation. We're going to cry out that God will move in extraordinary power and anointing. And so Wednesday nights are going to be a cracker. We're going to cry out to the north, the south, the east and the west. We're going to blow the shofar to the four corners of the compass. We're really going to believe for something to break through the darkness that's in this place and surrounding areas. And so Wednesday nights and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to believe, we're just going to flow in the river and see what God is going to do. So be encouraged to have a good break and then to come back. Amen. Now, a few nights ago, I ministered on entering into the presence of God, of entering through the veil into the Holy of Holies, God's habitation. Now, to move into the Holy of Holies is to move into the realm of the Spirit. It's to move into the realm of the supernatural. It's to move into the realm of the miraculous. It's to move into the realm of angels. It's the atmosphere of glory, the immeasurable dimension of God. Now, in the natural, if you had a rechargeable battery, and it's only charged for a few minutes. Its power would soon be depleted. A fully charged battery is capable of providing power for a much longer duration compared to that which is just plugged in for a short time. Now, in the same way, your spirit is like a rechargeable battery. It is charged, it is empowered, it is energized by the Holy Spirit. And if you want the glory of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to abide longer, stronger, and deeper in your life, you need to spend as much time as you can soaking in His presence. And a lot of what's been happening tonight, these last 27 nights, has been about just that, soaking in the river and the presence of God, of allowing the Holy Spirit just to move at will amongst us, to touch, to heal, to refresh. How many have been touched in some way by the Holy Spirit, refreshed, healed even, just sense God touch them in some tangible, measurable, noticeable way? Many, many of you. And that's what these meetings are really all about us having an encounter with God. Tonight I want to share for a little bit on the person of the Holy Spirit. If you have a Bible, I'd like to turn to John. John chapter 16. The book of John, chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus says this to His disciples, starting from verse 5. He says this, John 16, verse 5, "Now I am going to Him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Jesus points towards the Holy Spirit in these verses. He announced Him, He declared Him, He promised Him. And notice Jesus said Him, not it. The Bible tells us that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to stand on our behalf making intercession to God. He is the intercessor. He is the counselor. He is the Spirit of truth. And He brings and He releases peace and intimacy in our lives. And of course, there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Yonggi Cho said this. He said that when the Spirit of God begins to move in our midst, when He comes amongst us, that we need to, and this is to enable that there be an ongoing flow of His presence in our midst, corporately speaking, as far as a meeting is concerned, that we need to recognize Him, that we need to welcome Him, that we need to respect Him, that we need to protect Him, and we need to run with whatever He is doing in our midst. And I would encourage you to respect what God is doing. This is sanctified ground at the frontier. Parents, control your children. This is not a playground. This is the place where the Spirit of God will move and do extraordinary things. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about the Holy Spirit is you just understand the gravity, the importance, the majesty, the glory, the might, the magnificence of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be careful not to reduce the Holy Spirit just to a gift. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us the supernatural power of God needed to carry out, well, I guess, our mission here on earth. God gave the Holy Spirit to us for a purpose. He is the agent of service, the empowering us for service and for witness. The Bible tells us in Matthew 3, verses 6 and 7, that He has been seen. The Holy Spirit has been seen. And this is recorded in Scripture. In Matthew 3, for example, where Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible records how the Holy Spirit was seen to come down like a dove and to settle on Jesus. It's significant that the Bible records that he came as a dove, and it's significant that it said the dove settled on Jesus, because doves do not do that. Pigeons will, doves do not. They're a very timid bird in the sense that they are easily startled. They will easily lift off. And to some degree, we need to kind of see the Holy Spirit in the same way. He is a part of the Trinity, the Godhead. And when we speak using the term the person of the Holy Spirit, we've got to take great care that we guard the essential unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our definition of human personality as the expression of a being and the expression of possessing a mind, a will, and emotion, as far as we are concerned, but it's a little bit different when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit. When we apply this to the Trinity, if implying this term, the person of the Holy Spirit, would imply that there's any degree of limitation, as there is with us, then it's not true, because the Holy Spirit has no limitation. So in using a term like the person of the Holy Spirit, we just have to be careful that in our minds and in our hearts, we don't attach the limitations of a person, as it were, as far as emotions, as far as a will, as far as feelings, because the Holy Spirit has all those. And we'll look at that tonight. But having said that, we mustn't put the same limitations that a person would have in the human sense upon the Holy Spirit. There is no limitations upon him, none at all. He was promised unto us. He was promised us in John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Unless I go, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come." Jesus said, "I will ask the Father to give you another, to send this counselor, to send somebody." And so it is a promise that was to come, and Jesus needed to leave. He needed to go back up to the Father in heaven so that the Holy Spirit would be released to come amongst us. God gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose. I'm going to use this overhead here so that you can see the points as we look at them. God gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose. First of all, he was promised and prophesied in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, God said, "I will pour out my spirit on your offspring." The same promise was given to us and prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. He said, "I will pour out my spirit on all people." It talks about how our young people and our old people will prophesy and see dreams. In Isaiah 28, the Bible talks in verse 11 and 12 that people will speak with strange tongues, that God will speak through the people through strange tongues. God gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose as a definite experience. In Acts chapter 2, you read of this on the day of Pentecost. As they waited in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came down as an actual experience. You can experience the Holy Spirit touching you, enabling you, empowering you, doing something with you. And he is for everybody. There is no limit to this. Peter discovered this. When he went to Cornelius' house, he discovered that the Holy Spirit was not limited just to a race of people or to a group of people, that the Holy Spirit was for everybody. It is a supernatural means of communication. Peter talks about uttering mysteries with the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is described as a spirit of truth. And God desires all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, we are encouraged, don't get drunk on wine, but be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. It is something that we receive by faith. And tonight, some of you, I believe, want an extra touch, need an extra touch of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been totally released and speaking in the language of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and that, tonight that can happen for you. It releases something when it comes to worship. It releases something within. It edifies, it builds you up within as you begin to flow in the language of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, as I said. He is a person who is infinitely wise, who is sensitive, who is loving, who is holy, who is just, and who is gracious. He is not just an influence that comes and goes in our life, bringing feelings, but rather he is real. He is more than just a person with emotions. He's one that we can actually reject, that we can hurt, that we can grieve. The Holy Spirit has a job to do, a specific job. If we're understanding the work of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to understand what God can do through us and in us. All the Spirit has done that for men in the past, He is able to do for us today. There's no excuse for limiting the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants to do great things amongst us, in us, and through us. Let's have a look for a moment what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit used to, in the Old Testament, we read where the Holy Spirit gave men victory in war. In Judges chapter 3, we read where the Spirit comes upon Caleb's younger brother and he does great exploits. We can read where the Spirit comes upon Gideon and does incredible things in Judges chapter 6. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write songs. David declares that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and spoke through him, and he's described as the singer of Israel's songs. The Holy Spirit anoints men freely like rain. He carries men through the air. We can read in Acts chapter 8 where Philip is carried away after contact with the eunuch. This whole thing of being translated, carried away, moved by the Holy Spirit is very real. I want to share something with you that happened to Jenny and I. I haven't shared this with very many people because it's kind of a little bit way out there. But we had been, this is just a couple of years ago, and we had been doing ministry in the South Island of New Zealand. We'd crossed over in the ferry from the South Island to the North Island, drove through the capital, Wellington, and we were working our way up the North Island, and we came to a place which was just before the military camp where we were first married and we spent the first 5 years of our married life. And I remember just before we came to the camp, we were talking in the vehicle and we were looking at our watches and we were saying, oh my goodness, it's just after 11 o'clock and the way we're going at the moment, it's going to take us about 20 minutes to get where the military camp is. And then we knew then that we had to travel what is called the desert road in New Zealand up past the big ski mountain and so on and to the next town. And we knew that took exactly 45 minutes. We had traveled that road many times during our years based at the military camp. We knew that from that village to a big place called Taupo. There's a massive lake in the middle of the North Island called Lake Taupo. We knew that that would take anywhere between 45 minutes and an hour. And by the way that we were looking at our watches and looking at the time that from where we were to get to the military camp, from the military camp to the first village, 45 minutes, from that village to Lake Taupo, it looked like we were not going to hit the place until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, from Lake Taupo to Auckland, where we lived, was a good 4.5 hours drive. It simply meant that we were going to hit Auckland City at peak rush hour traffic. And it was critical that we got into Auckland and through the city and over the Auckland Harbour Bridge and on to the north of Auckland, where we actually lived, before we hit the rush hour traffic. I think we had an appointment that night to actually do. So here we were, just after 11 o'clock in the morning. The maths meant that by midday, we'd be in the first village after the military camp. Another 45 minutes to an hour would hit us at Lake Taupo, close to 1 o'clock. And Jenny and I were just driving along there. She said, wouldn't it be really good if we had kind of Philip's transport? Wouldn't it be kind of really good? And we just began to pray. And really it was along the lines of, Lord, you know that it's urgent that we get to Auckland by tea time. You know, Lord, that if we hit Auckland traffic during rush hour, that's it. You get snarled up in that traffic, it's not as bad as you have here. Nowhere in the world as bad as what you have here. But it meant that it'll be a 2-hour thing just to get through the city. And so we just began to pray. And as we're driving along and we're listening to music and we're just praying about God, we need good traffic. It just was concerning us. In fact, we got to a place where we didn't know how to express our prayer. We just found ourselves just beginning to pray, and the Spirit just began to pray. And we just began to pray and listen to the music. And the next thing, now this is true, we were in Taupo. And it was 18 minutes after 11. And we had traveled what took about 2.25 hours. We had traveled in something like 11 minutes. And suddenly we're pulling into, Lake Taupo, the township around this big lake. And it so scared us. And I remember saying to Jenny, there's something wrong. Do you remember passing the military camp? Now, every time we drive past up the North Island of New Zealand, we pass the military camp. Just about every time, we often even go in and just drive through the village of the military camp and look at the first house we lived in, and just stuff like that, reminisce. We'd often drive past the camp and say, there's the first 5 years, and just begin to talk about the first 5 years of our life together. And then that was just something we did every time. That's where I came to faith in Christ in this military camp. It's where I had my encounter with God. So it's not like something that you go past, or I wouldn't anyway, and just ignore it. And suddenly it was like, I don't remember passing the camp. She's going, neither do I. I don't remember passing through this village called Turangi. I don't remember doing that. And Jenny's going, neither do I. I said, we're here. And it so rattled us that I had to pull over, and I couldn't drive. I had to get out of the car. I had the shakes. I mean, I was just seriously rattled that in the sake of a few minutes, we had traveled what would normally take over two hours of driving. And for a good 45 minutes, I mean, I used up half the time God gave us. I walked around outside just trying to get my head around it, looking at my watch, checking the time on the radio, on the clock in the car, Jenny's watch, my watch, and we tried to rationalize it. We tried to work out in our mind, how could this be? I am sure it was just after 11. We were coming through this town called Taihabi. I just know where we were. I don't remember passing the camp. And we took a good 45 minutes to realize that God had done something spectacularly supernatural. We had been shifted up the country, 2.5 hours drive in the space of a few minutes. There's no explanation for this, except that he did it with Philip. Why can't he do it today? This is some of the things that the Spirit of God will do. I've never forgotten that. It's always rattled my cage, that experience. He fills men with power. He empowers you. This is what the Spirit of God does. He has spoken through men in their own tongue as well in various languages. He has directed men in various ways. In Luke chapter 2, verse 27, Simeon is moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple courts, to be there at a specific time that he actually might have an encounter and get to see the baby Jesus. This was a thing that he'd been asking of God, that he would just see the Redeemer of Israel before he dies. What happens is the Holy Spirit speaks to him, guides him, directs him. And so he chooses on this particular moment, on this particular day, Simeon to be in the temple courts, and of course he gets to see Jesus, who's been brought there to be dedicated. He is given without measure. John 3:34 says just that, that the Holy Spirit is given without measure. He speaks to us as a person. Philip and Peter actually have the Holy Spirit speak to them. If you have an ear to hear, you can hear him speak to you. He brings direction. He directs gospel workers. We find that even in the Bible, there's times when Paul planned to go somewhere and the Spirit of God says to him, no, you're not to go there. You're to go this way instead. This is just some of the small facets of what the Holy Spirit does
when He directs us, guides us, speaks to us. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us on a daily basis. He wants to indwell us. This is the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. He leads us into truth. He helps us in our prayer life. He gives us revelation of God. Come to 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 2. And the only reason I am taking time over this tonight is I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something quite spectacular this night. I think the Holy Spirit wants to touch people's lives, and the only reason why I want to teach just a little bit for a moment is that it brings revelation. It brings understanding. Come now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 9. The Bible says, "However it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." Come down to verse 14. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that He gives us wisdom, He gives us understanding. And at the end of the day, the things of the Spirit are not naturally or carnally understood with our minds. They are spiritually discerned. And some of the things that God has begun to do in our midst and will build and do, the things you will never nut out in your mind. You'll never work it out. You'll never come to terms with it with our natural carnal mind. Let me encourage you just to relax. Just allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to give you revelation and understanding. You get the revelation of some of these things, the revelation becomes greater than the situation. That is why we often say, the longer you soak, the wetter you get. Yes. And as you soak in His presence, He can talk to you, begin to guide you, begin to give you revelation and understanding. Our potential in the Spirit is limitless. The only limits that we have are those that we place upon ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do all things. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is complete in Christ. There's nothing that we have to do to have a relationship with Him. We have to work on the relationship just as we do in the natural, but there's nothing you need to do. The minute you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to work in your life. And He is faithful. He'll begin to reveal Himself in greater and greater measure. All you've got to do is be available and press into Him and soak in Him and search after Him and soak in Him and search after Him and soak in Him and search after Him, and He begins to reveal Himself to you. We only need to invite Him to participate in our lives. That's all we need to do. And then He will come. The thing is, we can resist Him. We can resist Him. We can test Him. We can grieve Him. And Ephesians 4:30 begins to talk about we can grieve the Holy Spirit with bitterness, with rage, with anger, with slander, with maliciousness. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira found out to their tragedy, really. They lost their lives because they lied to the Holy Spirit. He can be blasphemed. He can be insulted. He can be quenched. He can be vexed. He can be quieted within us. And here's the neat thing. He can be fellowshipped with. See, the Holy Spirit is a real live entity. The person of the Holy Spirit can be upset. He can be grieved and he can lift. But he can be fellowshipped with. And I believe that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do is to fellowship with us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? To me, that's very straightforward, isn't it? Just simply ask for more of the Holy Spirit. He will come. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples had to just wait for a bit. And as they waited, and what do you think they were doing as they were waiting in the upper room? They weren't playing Monopoly or Patience with cards. They were worshiping. They were focusing on God. They were looking forward to this extraordinary thing that had been promised. And the rest we know. The Holy Spirit came. He was evidenced by touching them with fire. I believe he's just waiting. For you to invite him to come into your life in a greater fashion. Perhaps some of you have never done this. You've never stood there and said, Holy Spirit, fill me in a fresh and a new way. It's an ongoing thing. I tell you the truth, there's hardly a day goes by that I don't ask, Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing for the day, a fresh touch for this day, a fresh anointing for this meeting, a fresh anointing for this moment. And the more you ask and the more you seek, the more he'll touch, fill, change, ravish your heart. The Holy Spirit is just waiting on you to open yourself up. And that's why it's critical we understand what's happening here and happening in our midst, particularly as the weeks go on. For I believe, as we've seen before, it'll happen again, that I believe we'll begin to see God begin to manifest himself in greater and more magnificent ways. Greater things will happen, and you just need to be aware of what's happening in here and be respectful of it and careful of it as he begins to flow in our midst. That we don't grieve him, that he doesn't lift because of, just stuff that goes on in here. I wonder if you'd like to stand in his presence tonight. It is no wonder that the devil tries to stop the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is almost impossible to exaggerate how dependent we are, how important it is that we have the Holy Spirit come and become an integral part of our faith walk in these days. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction of sin, of things that are going on in our lives that, frankly, grieve God. It's one of his jobs, is to come and to speak to us about, things we're saying, thinking, doing, behaving, looking at. It would grieve the Father. He brings that sort of conviction. The sad thing is us who limit how much the Holy Spirit will flow in us, through us, and do with us. We limit him. Even before Jesus came and walked on this earth, God would empower men of different people for specific jobs and tasks. And what David did and what Gideon did and what Caleb's brother did and others and what Joshua did and great men and women of the Bible did, because the Holy Spirit for a time empowered them, came upon them. But it was for a specific time, for a specific job, for that specific person. Sometimes it was an empowerment for the office that they had entered into. For a time, even Saul, King Saul, who blew it badly, was empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He actually led the nation in a great victory in the early days before, he grieved God and lost his position. But after Jesus was crucified and rose again, the Holy Spirit was released for all. And it's now not limited to a person, individuals, for specific jobs. Now he's been released to fill us, to touch us, to empower us, to fill us. And it is us who limit him. And he wants to do great and mighty things in you and through you and with you. There's, I sense an anticipation in the Spirit of God, just an anticipating of wanting to move amongst us, begin to do extraordinary things. All we've got to do is to open ourselves up. You are safe in His hands. You are safe in His hands. And tonight He wants to ravish your hearts. He wants to move amongst us. He wants to dance with some of you. He just wants to gather you up in His arms. And the choice is going to be yours in just 1 minute. For in just 1 minute, we're going to invite Him to come, and we're going to invite you to come and come into His presence. And if you've never, ever asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to fill you, to release you, and praying in the Spirit, tonight when you come up here, and we begin to move amongst you and just pray over you, tell us that you'd like that. We'd like to pray with you to see something released in your life this night. A greater release in the gifts of the Spirit. A greater release in the gift of speaking in the language of the Spirit. Of speaking in tongues. A release in worship. A fresh empowerment. A fresh anointing. A fresh infilling. In the Greek, the Bible talks about it's an ongoing, continuous process. Be you continuously, ongoing, filled with the Spirit. And so tonight, that's going to be available to you. I think He wants to do great things tonight. I think He wants to release just a freedom and a liberty in us that we might celebrate God and His goodness. Let's pray.